Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited for the rest of this show because we have Nick Arima from Red State joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. She's going to talk about John Rahm and Dr. Fauci, Dr. Jill, Brian Stelter, you know, a lot of the topics we've already covered. But there's a story I haven't covered yet, and it's insane. I mean, I see these headlines, and it takes a lot now to surprise me. But I was just walking to the kitchen, and Howie said, you really should mention the psychiatrist, the New York City psychiatrist. And so I printed it up, and then I start reading it, and then I start realizing there's sound that goes along with this, which in the radio biz is just gold. When I read you guys these, you're going to be amazed. But before I get to that, I would be remiss if I didn't add this on. I'm going to tack this on to the last journalism in the news, which if you missed it, it was in the last hour. You can check out all our podcasts at gracecurlyshow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. But this is definitely worthy of going in. There was a tweet that Florida announced that the state will no longer update the dashboard. That'll make reported cases go down, according to this random Twitter user. Now, there's a lot of different states and even news outlets that are changing up how they're doing things. I know that recently a news outlet decided to stop doing the cases every day, or, you know, to end the virtual maps that show you where cases are. And it's not for any reason besides the fact that, listen, cases are going down. I think in Massachusetts yesterday or this weekend, we had 100 cases one day, which is a very low number for the entire state. Chris Cuomo sees this and says, odd timing, just as peace comes out about how data was handled. Again, he's pushing this conspiracy theory that they also had going with Rebecca Jones, where they tried to insinuate that Ron DeSantis was hiding nursing home numbers. Now, that's not true. There is a story about a corrupt governor hiding nursing home numbers. But unfortunately for Chris Cuomo, it's not Governor Ron DeSantis. It's his big bro. You know, it's the tough guy. It's the Governor Andrew Cuomo. It's the De Niro to Fauci's Pacino.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?
So Chris Cuomo says, odd timing, just as peace comes out about how data was handled, question mark? Janice Dean, the resident slayer of fake news and one of Andrew Cuomo's biggest enemies, I think at one point his spokesperson said she's not reliable on anything, maybe the weather. Janice Dean writes to Chris Cuomo, from the brother of the guy who for months hid thousands of nursing home deaths to help land a $5.1 million book deal. You might want to skip little comments like this one, Chris, unless you want to call out the LoveGov too. I don't know how Chris Cuomo can talk about anything now because he's such a fraud. I think there's, you know, someone like Joy Reid, who has a hypocritical past as far as the time traveling hacker. It's not as obvious in every single story she reports on. But with Chris Cuomo, especially right now, the fact that he still goes on every night and does that monologue where he talks about how evil Republicans are and, you know, whatever he's lecturing people on. How does he do that? I mean, I would just be so, aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you embarrassed, Chris? You should be. All right, now.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Obviously not. CNN's not embarrassed either. I mean, their level, they have no shame. They have no shame. All right, now, we got to talk about this story because it's going to kind of blow your mind. I'm just going to read it. I'll let you know when we have the sound available. Former professor, oh, we do have it. Do we have, all right, well, you know, let's set this up first. So there's a New York City psychiatrist, and she was caught. It's not even that she was caught on camera. She was proudly stating this to a bunch of people. Dr. Aruna Kalanani made the remarks at the Ivy League institution's Child Study Center on April 6th. This is always the part of these stories that blows my mind. It's not that, you know, it was Project Veritas caught on camera. These liberals think this is, they should be proud for spewing this kind of hate. All right, now to get to the meat of what she said. There are lunatics that may be listening to her speech right now. Okay, no, this is the woman who commented on it. She told people that she had dreams about shooting white people. Okay, she told a Yale School of Medicine audience that she had fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in her way. Adding that she'd walk away from the shooting with a bounce in my step and that white people make my blood boil and are out of their minds and have been for a long time.
Racism, racism.
A flyer promoting the lecture and posted online revealed the title was The Psychopathic Problem of the White Mind. Understand how white people are psychologically dependent on black rage. Now, here's what's interesting. She's talking about how psycho the white mind is. I don't go on this show ever and talk about unloading revolvers into people. There's a lot of people that I disagree with politically, but I would never in my wildest dreams say something like that because you have to be unhinged and mentally unstable. And while I don't often use this logic, it feels like I have to. Can you imagine if this were reversed? If this were a white person saying this about black people, it would be horrible, but it would be a huge story. And I haven't seen this except for, you know, the likely suspects, Fox News, maybe the Daily Mail, because the Daily Mail does more serious journalism than CNN and MSNBC. But let's listen. This is actual sound of this woman, Dr. Aruna Kalanani. Go ahead, Jared.
I have fantasies of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body, and wiping my bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless. With a bounce in my step, like I did the world f***ing favor.
There's so much.
Totally. That's totally normal.
She says that the white people are psychologically dependent on black rage. This woman has a lot of rage. That's a strange, unhealthy fantasy to have. And I love how all of this always comes from the tolerant liberals. You know, they're so tolerant. They're so loving. And this is what they're talking about?
Hate has no home here. Oh, by the way, I just want to put a revolver at any white guy I see.
It's really sad, too, because you know, there was so much great progress made as far as race relations. And it feels we have taken ginormous steps back recently where the division is so much stronger. I don't remember being like this when I was young. I don't remember this obsession with white people versus black people.
No, it started circa 2008.
Insanity. Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Grace?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Hey, listen, you know, every time there's a school shooting, they always talk about after the fact that, oh, he had things listed in his Facebook about doing this, and he told people he was going to do this, and blah, blah. And they said people need to come forward and let us know when they know these things so we can prevent it from happening. So this lady's hiding nothing. We all know about it. So what are they going to do to her that... Are they going to do the same thing that they do to these people that we know ahead of time that they want to shoot up a school? She's saying what she wants to do ahead of time. So why isn't she locked up or thrown in a hospital and being diagnosed and, you know, put on some medication or something?
Well, if we know anything, Bob, and you kind of just pointed it out, if there's red flags about these sort of things, the FBI tends to steer very clear of it.
Yeah, there's a MAGA grandma in Nebraska that the FBI has to look into. We'll get back to you on this.
And that's a part of this that drives me so crazy is that there's this notion among the Brian Stelters and the Joy Reids of the world that Trump supporters are racist. You heard this, you know, after the election, in 2016, you heard it for 4 years that we're racist, that there's all of this underlying hate and racism in Trump supporters. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And this idea that the hate is coming from the Trump side of the aisle is just insane to me, because all of this kind of vitriol, and we heard it for years. Kathy Griffin had the effigy of Trump's head, and Madonna said she wanted to blow up the White House, and there was just all this violence, this violent rhetoric. And you know what's crazy, Jared? I didn't even think of this, because Brian Stelter took my breath away, so he became the star of journalism in the news. But there was another incident over the weekend that we have to get to, and we'll pull it during the next break. Anderson Cooper repeated the insane lie that January 6th was the worst act of political violence since the Civil War. And the responses online to his gross, inaccurate statement were beautiful, because what it showed me is no one's buying this. No one is buying what these people, these media people, are selling. It's insane. There's been assassinations. Someone showed up because of Obamacare or healthcare, or I don't know what the Bernie Bros problem was, but showed up to a softball game and shot Steve Scalise and almost killed Rand Paul. Where was Anderson Cooper for all of this? Making fun of people at the Olive Garden? Did he miss this? The idea that Trump supporters or conservatives are somehow more hateful or more violent than the beautiful people, the enlightened psychiatrists in New York City who want to unload revolvers into white people. Give me a break. We're going to keep the lines open for this whole entire hour. I want to hear what you guys have to say. 844-500-4242. We will be right back. Do not go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We've got a lot to get to here, a lot more sound to go through as well, but I almost forgot about this over the weekend. Anderson Cooper said something ridiculous, which is par for the course. But I started scrolling through to see if he got any pushback. He did. He got ratioed on Twitter, which made me happy, because ratios restore my faith. They make me think, you know what? People are on to you, Anderson. And keep in mind now, according to Jonathan Carl, Anderson, I think he's part of the serious people crew. And this is what a serious person, a supposedly educated person who knows about American history, had to say about January 6th.
Good evening. 150 days since the worst single act of political violence since the Civil War, and the man who incited it is crying about being kept off social media.
I got to hear the beginning of that one more time, Jared. I'm sorry.
Good evening. 150 days since the worst single act of political violence since the Civil War, and the man...
The worst single act of political violence since the Civil War. Now, here are some of the responses from people. Wait, what? We had an entire summer of Black Lives Matter protests where more people died at several rallies, and they were called mostly peaceful. Michael Malice writes back, even 9/11 doesn't exist if it doesn't fit your narrative, not to mention the many political assassinations we've seen of both Democrats and Republicans. The battle is won when the average American regards a corporate journalist exactly as they regard a tobacco executive.
And they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden.
Presidents were assassinated, but yeah, let's go with that. I mean, do you think Rand Paul would disagree? This guy's like a cat. He has 9 lives. And everyone, all these people on the left, I remember, I believe it was Casey Hunt. I'd have to double check. But people got a kick out of it, that he was, you know, beat up by his neighbor.
Yeah, they wanted to buy drinks for his neighbor and take him to dinner.
Not to mention, just a few months before, he was at the softball game where a Bernie bro came on the field and tried to kill him and shot Steve Scalise. the Minority Whip. Does any of this ring a bell? I don't understand how Anderson Cooper can say that with a straight face. And I've said
good
this
evening, 150 days since the worst single act of political violence since the Civil War. And the
Someone says, where do you rank the attempt on FDR, JFK, RFK, attempt on Reagan, 1954 Capitol shooting, attempt on Gabby Giffords, the shooter who nearly killed Steve Scalise, 9/11.
Hey, a dude wore a buffalo hat. Come on.
And you know what's so funny? If you turn on these shows, they are in an alternate universe. All they talk about all day, it must just get tiresome, you know? Even I like to mix it up once in a while. I could run with Dr. Fauci all day if I wanted to, but I like to mix it up for people. But they don't like to mix it up. It's January 6th or bust at CNN. And their ratings are showing that they're choosing bust because nobody's watching. All right. Now, today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their Drain the Swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the biggest narcissist? Andrew Cuomo, Barack Obama, Dr. Fauci, or Kamala Harris?
I'm going to say Andrew Cuomo.
Andrew Cuomo polling at 21%. Barack Obama in the lead at 54%.
Yeah, Barack Obama's definitely up there. And I mean, Kamala Harris has had a lot over the last couple of weeks. And there's an element of her being a narcissist, but she's also just a lightweight. You know what I mean? That's where a lot of this comes into play, is that
I eat no for breakfast.
Yeah, you're right. She does eat no for breakfast. But it's hard to beat Andrew Cuomo. I mean, the guy to write a book, Jared, in the middle of a pandemic where you're congratulating yourself on your handling of said pandemic, that takes a special level of jerk, of real egomaniac. And I think another reason I choose Cuomo is because I've talked to Janice Dean and Joe Borelli. I have a lot of New York people on the show. And a lot of people say they think he is it's not a psychopath,
a sociopath.
A sociopath. He literally does not care. He goes to bed at night and thinks, yeah, I'm the best.
My publisher says I need about 1,000 more words. I go put some people in nursing homes. I need content.
It's just crazy. By the way, I have a really great story coming up. We're just kind of skipping all around today, but there's just too much to get to. So there's an email. You remember the laptop from hell? There's a really funny email. And I'd be curious to know if people enjoy this as much as I do. Because I always talk about Joe Biden's aides. And I'd love to be a fly on the wall when Joe Biden leaves a speech, you know, and to hear what people say. I imagine it's got to be like Ron Burgundy when he says, I'm Ron Burgundy. And the guy goes, damn it. Who put a question mark in the teleprompter? There's got to be frustration. And this is the first look into it we've had where the speechwriter emailed Hunter Biden to vent about how Joe wouldn't stay on script. And guess what? The stuff he's complaining about from 2015, we have that sound. This is going to be great. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so I promised you guys this interesting email on the laptop from hell. But before I get to that, Zebra, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Zebra.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. I'm sure anyone's listening to me know I've got opinions, and I certainly share them pretty quickly. But this is one where I think I need yours and everybody else here, because we all have, you know, we can put up with the people with the masks and smile because we don't know them. But a lot of people out there have someone that's been very close to them that won't let go of the TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, and now they're engaged in revisionist history. And at what point in time do we just say, yeah, I'll see in a couple of years and maybe you'll be better then? I mean, at what point in time do you give up on these people?
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Here's my advice, Zebra, and I've used this in my own life. If I can have a conversation, if I know I disagree with someone, if I know they suffer from TDS and they're never going to understand things or never going to see things the way I see them, I tend to go by the rule of, if we can have conversations that do not end up being about politics, then I'm happy to continue socializing and being friends with that person. But if they can't handle that, if they have to bring it up, if it's a knee-jerk reaction, everything has to be about Trump or everything has to be about politics, then I say, see you later. Because I can't take on that anger and that hate, you know? I can't. It's a sickness. It really is. So that would be my advice, Zebra. If you can commingle with them in life, then for sure stay friends with them. It's nice to have people, even if you don't agree with them. Maybe they're really funny. Maybe they are a great golfer and you guys love golfing together. Maybe, you know, your kids are friends and you share things in common. That's all well and good. Then I say stay friends. But if you're finding yourself constantly trying to avoid talking about politics because they keep bringing it up, they keep talking about Trump, they keep talking about Joe Biden, you got to let it go. You got to cut them loose. Now, thank you for the call, Zebra. Speaking of Joe Biden, Joe Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, is talking about his upcoming meeting with Vladimir Putin, or as Biden, because they're, you know, Biden's closer with Putin than most. He calls him President Clooten. That's their little nickname.
President Clooten.
Now, national security advisor Jake Sullivan had an update on their upcoming meeting, and I'm a little concerned after hearing this. Can we play it, Jared?
After his time at the G7, at NATO, and at the US-EU summit, President Biden will go to Geneva to meet with President Putin. He will do so, of course, after having had nearly a week of intensive consultations with allies and democratic partners from both Europe and the Indo-Pacific. So he will go into this meeting with the wind at his back.
Ooh, I don't know about that. There better not be stairs around him if he's got the wind at his back. Sir Jake, I don't know how qualified you are. This is no disrespect to you, but Joe Biden does not handle the wind well. His track record with the wind is about as good as his track record in the Senate. It's not good. And I'm worried about him. How fast will this wind at his back be? Speaking of Joe Biden and his gaffes, there's a great piece in Just the News. That's John Solomon's news network. And it's all about an email. And this is one of those stories where it's not going to get a lot of attention, and it probably shouldn't. It's not that big a deal, but I find it very entertaining. Aides unloaded on Joe Biden for going off script. Email to Sun Hunter shows. Now, I always talk about this when Joe Biden comes off the stage. I talk about it with Kamala, too, because I always wonder if they're just completely surrounded by yes men. If anyone says to them, listen, you can't do X, Y, or Z. Kamala, when someone brings up the border, you can't laugh. You know, when you talk about parents who haven't been able to send their kids to school for the past year because of Democrat policies, you can't chuckle.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe, you can't keep telling these crazy stories that don't make any sense about the Amtrak.
Come on, man.
They don't add up. They're not true. You can't keep talking about the little girls in the front row and their barrettes. You got to drop that. I wonder if anyone has the guts to say this to them. And this email gives us a little glimpse into the people who were not yes men. President Joe Biden has never been accused of having a gilded tongue. In fact, he once referred to himself as a gaffe machine. But after a meandering speech in the summer of 2015, his top aides let loose their frustrations in a private communication to the then vice president's son, Hunter. I also find it amusing that they're telling Hunter about it. Like, oh, you know what? You know who would be a good person to vent to? Hunter. He'll understand what we're talking about. He just couldn't end the speech, senior White House aide Gregory Schultz exclaimed to the VP's youngest son in apparent disbelief. The newly surfaced email recovered by Just the News from a laptop Hunter Biden left behind at a Delaware repair shop, allegedly, throwing that in there for myself, and later turned over to the FBI, provides a rare glimpse into the Biden's inner circle effort to corral the oft-bumbling, gaffe-prone speechmaker. Now, this is the quote. He went off script almost every 2 to 3 paragraphs and did all the self-referential stuff we cut out. This speech was pretty much everywhere, including why the Democratic Party should look to itself in curbing dark money, not that I am talking about any particular person. So the speechwriters were not happy with his performance. And that got me thinking, because 2015 Joe Biden was a lot better than 2021 Joe Biden. And even back then, he wasn't great, but he was, you would agree, Jared, he was significantly more on the ball than he is now.
Yes, I didn't really pay attention to 2015 Joe Biden, but sitting through this thing, yikes.
Yeah, because in 2015, you know, the most you saw of him was usually on a BuzzFeed video or, you know, at a ribbon cutting thing. So I said to Jared, they mentioned the exact speech this guy's referring to. And I thought, you know, it would be fun just so we could really get into the mindset of these aides who are really frustrated with Joe. We went back and looked at the speech. And sure enough, I get like 5 minutes into it and I understand what the guy's talking about. Because Joe Biden is a sucker for a story. He's a storyteller. It's what's gotten him into trouble so many times before. A thousand times it has gotten him into trouble. So, Jared, let's play what we got. This is what the aides were complaining about. Joe Biden would not stay on script.
When my father went to get a loan for me to get to college, I was a pretty good athlete and had some opportunities, but I still needed money. And my dad, I went down to where he worked and walked in and asked his secretary where he was. He said, "He's outside, honey, in the side of the building." And I walked around to see him, and my dad was pacing back and forth. This is an absolutely true story. And he saw me and looked up. He said, "Joey, Joey, I'm so sorry." And I thought, God, what happened to my sister, my mother? There's the day before cell phones. Did something happen? I said, "What's the matter, Dad?" He said, "Honey, I went to the bank to try to borrow money to get to school. They wouldn't let me the money, honey. I'm so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. I'm so sorry."
So much to unpack.
Yeah, first of all, the football, you know, he's a pretty good athlete.
Athlete.
There's a few things that are very, very Joe Biden. One of them is to compliment yourself. I mean, he could be on the narcissist list. He's just not quite sharp enough to be as good of an egomaniac as the rest of them. But when you have to tell people you're a pretty good athlete, I don't know anyone. And I'm going to say this. I'm not going to name the person. I know somebody who was one of the greatest three-sport athletes in his high school days. When I tell you, he would never say it. I'm not exaggerating. You would never even know he played a sport. But to tell people that you were a great athlete or a pretty good athlete, right there, red flag. And the second thing is, this is the absolute truth. This is absolutely true. This is an absolute true story. Thou doth protest too much, bro. Just get on with the thing. And every single story, someone pointed this out to me. It sounds like the death of a salesman. Like every single time he describes his childhood and his dad coming home, it's very depressing. He either has his dad coming home talking about loans or staring at the ceiling. It's the same story every single time. And I understand why the speechwriters were like, "Will you just stay on script? Just look at the teleprompter and read it."
Oh, this also caught my ear as well.
He says, "Honey, I went to the bank to try to borrow money to get to school. They wouldn't let me the money, honey."
My dad has never called me honey.
Yeah, some dads. my dad is not a fan of that either. Some dads do call their sons honey. I've seen it.
Oh, God, that's yikes.
Yeah, well, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Maybe it did happen then.
"You got that money, honey, I got the time." All his stories. And to be fair, they were 200 years ago, but they sound like they were 200 years ago.
And why was there a secretary at the Delaware Scranton coal mine? What's that about?
Good point. I wouldn't even... See, this is what we need. This is a real fact checker right here. Jared Diglio, fact checker for the Grace Curley Show. Howie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Howie.
How are you? Hi, Grace. First of all, I sent a couple emails. I didn't have your email address to Howie's email address regarding the topic about that psychiatrist about shooting somebody in the head. I thought you'd get it. It was a bigger story than it's a huge story, actually, but I sent it to Howie's email address. Let me just say this. I'm a veteran who goes way back. I have to suggest that we've heard about the dumbing down of America. I think we've heard out of your show and a few others, a dumbing down of journalism.
Yeah.
That's the problem. There's no Drew Pearson, no Walter Winchell, nothing. And the journalists, the questionings, their knowledge, I find it tragic and sad. I'm going into my 83rd year. I served in Vietnam and what have you, but I just find it disappointing. And it's not fair to the American public. Or their readers or what have you. They are dumbed down. They don't know their history. They forgot their history. And that's part of our problem.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And you really do see that people forget their history when someone like Anderson Cooper, who's supposed to be this serious person, says that. I mean, I think I was in the fourth grade when 9/11 happened. But you're fooling yourself if you don't acknowledge there's a difference between something like that and what we saw on January 6th. And before I go further into that, Howie, thank you very much for your service and welcome home, and we so appreciate it. There was a great piece, it was a few weeks ago, but it was all about how 9/11, and I think the further out you get from things, it's natural to forget. But there were mothers and fathers who made the decision to jump from skyscrapers rather than be burned alive. So stop trying to convince me that January 6th was on that level, because it wasn't. There are people my age who grew up for most of their lives now without a father or a mother. There were children in those planes. It's just, it's not a good comparison. It's not right to make it. And I think the further out we get, the more comfortable people get throwing out these analogies. Just stop. It's an insult. It's a massive insult to people who have lost someone. Because, you know, Anderson Cooper and these other journalists, maybe they have moved on, you know, maybe they have forgotten. But I'm telling you, if you had someone in those towers, if you had someone on that plane, that changed your life forever. Every single day. So stop making the comparison, because it's insane. And it's stupid. Thank you, everyone who's calling in. This has been, you know, this has been a nice mixture. We've had a little bit of fun, a little bit of seriousness. That's the way you want to start a Monday. And when we get back, I have a little update here. And this is a story. This is like a standing headline. Democrat who wants to defund the police has police protection, or has a private patrol car. Even better. So I'll tell you all about that. And you're never going to guess. AOC is backing this person. These hypocrites, they stick together. I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network, so I can say this with confidence. Nothing beats Aviva Trattoria. Since the start of my show in January, Marcy from Aviva Trattoria comes in once a week. She brings an incredible spread for my listeners. Aviva always steals the show. And you know what? I'm okay taking a backseat to Aviva, because their food is that good. I'm a big fan of the sandwiches, of the homemade chips, of the pizza, of the arancini balls. Jared, I know that you love the pizza as well, but you've been kind of branching out lately.
Yeah, the short rib risotto and the seafood risotto, all of their risottos are fantastic. I just can't get enough of it. And actually, I got to say, the calamari is very good too. Doesn't get a lot of play, but it's got the spicy peppers. I think it's Rhode Island style. Something like that. Very good.
No, very light and crispy. Yeah. I'm not even a big calamari fan, but I always have it when it comes here. They also have four convenient locations in Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, Westford, and they have a new location in Malden, which is opening soon. Takeout is available too. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch, go to gracecurlyshow.com. That's gracecurlyshow.com. And I think what we're doing now is we're going to do trivia. So if you tune in on Thursday, this Thursday, we will pick a winner, whoever texts in first. And just to give people a little update on the text line, you text the word curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 63566, and I will be reading the text line. I'm going to get better about reading it every day. And what you want to do is enter the text line now so that by the time you are competing in the Aviva competition, you can just send in the answer. You don't have to, you know, enter the text line. All right. Now that that's out of the way, we will get back to you in a minute with more Defund the Police nonsense, 844-500-4242. It's The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Very excited for the next hour. Nick Arema from Red State is coming on the show. And I actually reached out to a couple of friends of mine at Red State, and they said, wow, we've never heard her do any interviews. So this is going to be a big one. A lot of people are tuning in. We're going to be talking about everything from Dr. Fauci to Brian Stelter to John Rahm and the Memorial Weekend the Memorial Tournament over the weekend. But I first wanted to talk about this while I have a few minutes here. Maya Wiley wants to take $18 million of NYPD money to fund community-based gun violence prevention plan. The AOC-backed NYC mayoral candidate wants to slash police budget to fund therapy for would-be criminals while living with private patrol cars. That's the real kicker at the end, you know? As if all of it's not bad enough, then they throw that in. NYC mayoral hopeful Maya Wiley has proposed defunding the police by $1 billion. Can you imagine you're living in New York City right now? The crime is insane. My sister was in New York City and my mom said, I will pay for all your Ubers. Please do not get on the subway. That's how bad the crime is right now in New York. This woman wants to use $18 million of police money to create a special participatory justice fund to specifically help curb a surge in shootings. The fund would allow locals in badly affected neighborhoods to decide on their own ways to curb gun violence. The locals may use the money to fund community programs and therapy for at-risk individuals. Wiley has proposed expanding cognitive behavioral therapy and dialectical behavioral therapy programs. Congresswoman AOC recently endorsed Wiley ahead of the June 22nd Democratic primary. Now, this is where it gets interesting towards the end. She spoke out on the issue after being exposed for paying $550 a month for a private security car to patrol the leafy street where she lives in Prospect Park, Brooklyn. Wiley claimed her partner, Harlan Mandel, has begun paying the annual fee for the service without telling her because he or she, I'm not sure here, was traumatized by a mugging in 2001. So it makes him feel better to have it. Well, I think it would make a lot of New Yorkers feel better to have some patrolling, too. We'll be right back. It's The Grace Curley Show.